thank you for listening to another Hastings NAS podcast. We are so pleased that you have shown interest in listening to this podcast, and we pray that it is edifying and beneficial for you. You can watch us live every Sunday morning on Facebook, facebook.com/HastingsNAS. And if you are so inclined, you can support the ministries of the church by going to hastingsnas.org/give. Hope you enjoy this sermon. Grace and peace.
The faithful service of our church family. And as they make their way down, I want to invite you to listen as I read from 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to follow along where we left off last week with 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. Listen to these words. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. That there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, y'all are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the written word of God. Thanks be to God. I think I could just read that and we'd be done, right? This is the written word of God. Thanks be to God. If I've spoken the truth today, would you say amen? Amen. Let's go. Now today I want to talk about gallbladder Christianity. That's going to be the tag for the sermon today. That's what I want to talk about. And I want to begin today by telling you something. I worked out this week. Why aren't you all clapping? Yeah. I worked out this week, right? That's a big deal because, thank you, yeah. No, I do not need to be clapped. It's a big deal because I have not exercised in an embarrassingly long time. Like a really long time. So I worked out, I did. And guess what? I hated it. I hated it so much with every fiber of my being. It was the absolute worst. And guess what the worst part is? I didn't even push myself. I didn't even work out that hard. It was a small workout and it kicked my butt. But I learned something about myself when I worked out. I learned something. Can I tell you what I learned when I worked out this week for the first time in an embarrassingly long time? Here's what I learned. This is big news. This is a big deal. I learned that I have tendons. Like all over the place. Like they're all over my body. And you know what? I bet you have tendons too. I promise you, I bet you do. I think I knew they were there at one point in my life. I probably at one point knew that I had tendons, but I forgot. Do you know how I learned that my body has tendons? I lifted heavy things. I learned that my body has tendons by lifting heavy things. I found these two things that weighed more than other things, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to pick them up. I'm going to lift them again and again and again. And then about 24 hours later, my body was screaming at me, "You have tendons." Because they were on fire. It was the weirdest sensation, truly. It wasn't my muscles that hurt. Like, I had a soreness in my body, and it was not like my actual physical muscles that hurt. Just in case, like me, you didn't know, you have tendons. These are the things that connect your muscles to your bones. And that is what hurt. It was like right where my joints were, I felt this weird muscle pain. The tendons connect your muscles to your bones, and without tendons, you wouldn't be able to move. Your muscles could not move your frame. Your skeleton wouldn't be able to be adjusted in a way for you to stand or walk or talk or breathe. I'm very glad to know I have tendons. You see, I realized something about when I realized something when I learned about my tendons, and what I've learned is that there are really only two points in your life that you learn about your body. There are only two points in your life when you learn about your bodies. First, you learn about your bodies when you grow up. But then you also learn about your bodies when you grow old. You see, I first learned that I had tendons when I was 13 years old. I was 13. I was growing up. I was a young teen. I wasn't that tall yet, but I wore a size 14 shoe. And I still wear a size 14 shoe. But I was not as big as I am now, and my Achilles tendon hurt all the time. You know what your Achilles tendon is? It's this thing right here. That's on the back of your foot. No, Justin, I'm not doing that again. My bones were growing faster than my body could handle when I was growing up, and it caused growing pains. But then as you get old, you learn about your body too, don't you? You learn about these parts that you didn't know you had. You have knuckles. And you have joints. And you've got hips. And you've got knees. Body parts that maybe you cognitively knew were there. They have to be there, right? But there was no actual acknowledgement or experience of them. You took them for granted. I took my tendons for granted. But one part of your body that you really don't know exists until you have to is your gallbladder. Do you know what your gallbladder does? Yeah, neither does anyone else either. I'm kidding, of course. It does have a purpose, apparently. WebMD says it has a purpose. Your gallbladder stores bile, which is supposed to aid in digestion. It's a bladder for your gall. I wonder how they came up with the name of it. But here's the thing about your gallbladder. It's supposed to manage your bile, and it's supposed to aid in your digestion, but what happens if you get rid of it? Nothing. You function just as well as you did without it. Now, I mean, if you lose a hand, you're going to know it. You lose a leg, you know it. You might even feel like you have it when it's gone. They talk about these ghost pains when you lose a limb. You feel like it's supposed to be there. You get an itch on your foot, but you don't have a foot. What happens when you lose your gallbladder? You get an itch in your abdomen? No, you have no idea that it's gone. If you remove the gallbladder, there are no discernible side effects. You can still digest fine. You can still eat fine. According to WebMD, because I do my research on Google, according to WebMD, the only possible side effect of losing your gallbladder, this is true, the only possible side effect is a small risk of diarrhea. But I'm telling you, if a small risk of diarrhea was that much of a deterrent, we would not eat at Taco Bell. If a small risk of diarrhea were that much of a deterrent, we would not eat and drink like we do. It's a small little body part that holds bile. But if it's removed, it makes no discernible difference. Body parts that go unnoticed, your gallbladder and your tendons. Did you know, church, that we've had a tendon member here at the church? A member of this church was a tendon that was not known until there was some pain associated with it. When Chuck Benedict left his post with the building and maintenance and started wintering in Florida, guess what happened? All of a sudden, lights were left on in the sanctuary after church. All of a sudden, doors were left unlocked. Because guess what? Chuck did it. Nobody asked questions. He did it. Chuck was a tendon that went largely unnoticed until there was a little bit of discomfort by his absence. And so we had some growing pains and we had to learn and figure out what to do and how to adjust. The body with all of its members is how the Apostle St. Paul talks about the Church of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body part with all of its members, this is how Paul talked about who we are to be. I hope when we read this text, we're not just reading about how the church operated so long ago, but what the church is supposed to be like today. And one of the things we need to do is recognize that these verses are connected with what we read last week. Last week, we also read in 1 Corinthians 12. We're still in the same chapter. And last week, what do we read about? What do we preach about? We're in the series Life in the Spirit. And last week, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. How there are a variety of gifts, and Paul is continuing that conversation. So as we talk today, I hope you can hear the gifts of the Spirit in the back of your mind, forming and influencing what Paul is saying about the life of the church. The different gifts of the Spirit are given to different people, and those people, with their gifts, they make up the different members of the body. Turning off the lights and locking the doors may not be a glamorous job, but it's important. No body can exist with one member. No body can exist with just a head or just a heart or just hands. All are essential. So I'm going to tell you something that's maybe difficult for some people to hear. This is not the hard part. This is not news to you. I'm the pastor here. You know that, right? I'm the pastor. It is my job. But more than that being my job, it is my calling. It is my passion. Were I not to do this thing, I don't know what else I would do. But here's the hard part. I'm not the church. I am not the church. I may be an integral part of the church. I may play an important role in the church. I might be the most visible member of the body. But that's just because of the role I have. But I want to tell you, church, I am not the body. I am a part of it, but I am no more a part of this body than any of you are. My role is no more essential than anyone else's here. And the truth is, I'm just a small part of the body. I might be a more public part of the body, but I'm just a small member in this body of Jesus Christ. Y'all make up the body of Jesus Christ. Y'all do. Looking at this chapter, oh man, what time is it? How much time do I have? Oh man, if I had time, there's so much we could preach out of this chapter. There's so many things I wish we had time to discuss. If we had time, if you let me preach longer, I would talk about how the body of Christ is a multiracial, multiethnic, multicultural, and cross-class organism. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slave and free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Man, if I had time, and if you'd let me, I would talk about how if our churches are more of a cultural reflection than of a specific demographic, then we might be missing out on the fullness of the body of Christ. If we had time, I could preach that. If we had time this morning, I'd talk about how in the body of Christ, there's a lack of competition. How in the body of Jesus Christ, competition is not the defining characteristic. If I were to say to the foot, if the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. I don't sing on the platform. I don't belong to the church. I'm not one of the greeters, so I don't belong to that church. If the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. I haven't been asked to teach Sunday school yet. I don't know if I'm a part of that body. I wasn't elected to the church board, so I don't belong to that church. I've not been asked to do this or that. I don't belong to them. We're not like that, though, right? That's the Corinthian church. Competition and comparison. If we had time, competition and comparison do not exist in the church anymore, right? We've evolved beyond that, right? Not us. We're better than they were. We got to figure it out. If I had time, church, if you let me preach, church, I talk about how sometimes that the comparative insecurity, it comes from within ourselves. I'm not like them, so I don't belong to the body. Sometimes it comes from within ourselves, but man, I could also preach about how sometimes it comes from among the body. Not just our own personal insecurities, but the insecurity of the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. Maybe not always so explicit. Sometimes it is realized in our actions. We don't always tell people they're not needed. Sometimes our actions reveal to people that they're not desired or wanted or needed. If I had time, I would preach to you today, church, about how life in the Spirit is not competitive, but celebratory. How we don't compete with others, we celebrate others. If one body part is honored, the whole body is honored. I don't have time to preach all that, but I do have time to preach one thing today. Paul wrote that if one member suffers, all members suffer. All members suffer. Just like he said, if one part is honored, all body parts are honored. And he speaks at length about the functions that each body part has. And one of the things that this recognizes, recognizing that if one part suffers, all suffers, it recognizes how much damage one member can do. How much damage one body part can cause. You see, sometimes, friends, we have gallbladder Christians in the body. The gallbladder, as we've already said, that bile-filled body part that we can all do without, that apparently doesn't serve a clear purpose, boy, can it do some damage. Boy, can it cause a problem. You know what happens if your gallbladder ruptures? Nancy Huftalen, who still holds her membership here, who was born and raised in this church, maybe not born, but very shortly thereafter, was raised in this church, was admitted in the hospital this week with gallstones. Why was she admitted in the hospital for a body part that seems to do nothing? Because what happens if those gallstones go untreated? Her gallbladder can rupture. And if your gallbladder ruptures, what happens? Not only will you become jaundiced and nauseous and vomit, that's just the beginning. If your gallbladder ruptures, you will not only have excruciating pain in your abdomen. If a ruptured gallbladder goes untreated, what happens is that toxic bile that was once contained will spread throughout all of your visceral organs. It will lead to basic functions failing, and ultimately, you will die. If a gallbladder that has gallstones that ruptures goes untreated, it disables the body, and it can kill the body. That one little organism, that one little organ that serves no discernible purpose can cause all sorts of chaos if its toxicity spreads throughout the body. Friends, sometimes there are gallbladder Christians who participate in the life of the church, who share in the life of the church, not for the sake of sharing and participating, but in order to take. They store within themselves toxic attitudes and toxic behaviors. They keep within themselves toxic dispositions and toxic beliefs. Boy, when they rupture, watch out. You're going to need to do some triage. When they rupture, their toxic bile gets spread throughout the members of the body. Sometimes there are people in the church who are there not because they add value, but boy, can they cause a problem. And this is what we would call consumer Christianity. A pervasive form of toxic Christianity in the world today. This consumer Christianity is capitalistic in nature in that it sees the church as a commodity to be consumed. If I go to that place and give them a little bit money, my life will be made better. And if my life is not made better, then I'm going to that other church. How often have we heard people say, I'm not being fed. I'm going to the church because I'm not being fed. There may be some truth in that, but here's my problem with people saying, I'm not being fed. You can lead a horse to water. You can lead a horse to water, but if they don't drink, they don't drink. Sometimes people are not fed in the church, not because there's inadequate teaching, not because there's inadequate opportunities, but because people aren't participating. Sometimes people aren't fed because they're led to water, but they ain't drinking. Can I tell you something really challenging today that's really countercultural? I want to tell you that the church does not exist to feed you. The church exists to form you. The aim of our ministry is not to give you something to consume, it's to reveal to you a new way to walk. Consumer Christianity takes and takes and takes without participating or sharing or doing the work. Consumer Christianity is the gallbladder that doesn't add anything to the body, and without it, the body would function just the same, but good night can it cause a problem. Good night can it be toxic. What we learn from St. Paul about the life in the Spirit is that in the church there are no bystanders. In the church, there are no mere consumers. In the church, there are many members. And each member has a purpose and a function. Friends, as a member of this church, maybe not formally necessarily, but in the words of St. Paul, as a member of this church, you have a purpose and a function for this local expression of Christ's body. You do, I promise you. Otherwise, you would not be here. You have a gift, as we read from 1 Corinthians 12. God has given you a gift to share with the body. One of my very good friends, Pastor Ben Kramer, has said, and I believe he is right, he has said, if you see any deficiencies in your local church, maybe that's where God is calling you to serve. If you see any issues in your local congregation, maybe God is pointing those out to you so that you can be a part of the solution instead of complaining about it. I'm under no pretense, friends, that we are a fully functioning at full capacity church. There are always areas where we can improve. There are always areas where we can be more faithful. There are always places where we can serve our community better, where we can love one another better. So a question I want to ask rhetorically, this is a rhetorical question, I'm prefacing that, don't shout it out. Have you noticed any deficiencies among our body? I'm not looking. Some of you might be nodding. I'm under no pretense that we have everything figured out. Absolutely not. Are you noticing any deficiencies? If your answer is no, then you need to look a little harder. But if you see some issues, well, then maybe God is calling you to that thing. Because there aren't bystanders here. There aren't gallbladders here. We're not going to be a church of consumers. And just in case you need some help seeing our deficiencies, I'm going to point them out to you. There are areas where we need you, friends. There are ministries of the church where your participation is sorely needed. And this is a simple one. It's a small one, but it's an important one. We need greeters. That maybe sounds like one of the less honorable members of the body, but we need greeters. COVID-19 has done a number on our greeter ministry. And we need more people who can let folks know that they are loved, who can let people know that they are welcomed, who can let people know that they belong. Now, I don't put a lot of stock in all the data that's out there, but one thing that I believe is true is how quickly people make a decision on whether or not they're going to visit a church a second time. Do you know what the data shows? How long it takes for somebody to decide if they're going to visit a church a second time? 15 seconds. 15 seconds. People make a decision 15 seconds after they walk into a building if they're going to come again or not. When I was a server at a restaurant, we had a rule. It was, if you did not do this, you would get in trouble from the manager. When I was a server, we had a rule. We had a 60-second greet window. They had done the data, they had done the studies, and they had shown that if you don't greet your table within the first minute, they're going to be upset. You're going to get a smaller tip. But if you greet them right away, even you don't have to do anything. You can just show up at the table and say, hey, so glad you're here. I got another table I'm helping out right now. I'll be right back with you. You have to do that in 60 seconds because they knew that in the hospitality industry, they knew how important the initial greet was. If greeting folks at a restaurant is that important, how important is greeting in the church where we don't have a 60-second window, we have a 15-second window? We could use some help here, friends. So I want to invite you to fill out a Connect card or talk to Martha Ports if this might be a place where you can serve, where if you think, you know what, I can stand at a door and tell people they're loved. I can stand at a door and let people know that they belong here, that they're welcomed. But there are many others, and I'm not going to give you a comprehensive list because you guys won't let me preach that long. But maybe this is the last one I want to address, and I think it's maybe at the top of our list. If we have a deficiency here, it's in our children's ministry. And I got to tell you, our aim with children's ministry is not to entertain them, not merely to entertain them. Yes, we're going to play games. Yes, we're going to do crafts. Yes, we're going to have fun. But we want to disciple our kids. We want our young ones to be formed into the likeness of Christ. And I've talked to our kids' leaders before. Sometimes finding people to help out in children's ministry is like pulling teeth. We need you to help us disciple our children and the children of this community. And guess how many men we have serving with our children's ministry right now? One. Our kids need men to be able to imitate and reflect as Christ-like. Our children's workers need some work. Do you have your bulletins on you? I'm serious. Do you have your bulletin? Grab your bulletin. Look at your bulletin and look on the back side of it. Very bottom and fine print, what do you see down there? You see our volunteers for next week, right? What do you see in the very bottom right-hand corner of the bulletin there? Who's doing children's church next week? Who's doing Sunday school? And who's doing children's church? We have a very tangible need in front of us right here, right now. We need some members of Christ's body to not just consume, but to participate. So I want to encourage you to fill out a Connect card or talk to Patty Bogie Gibbons or talk to Martha Ports if this is a ministry where you can serve. Truth is, church, maybe you just don't know your function yet. I want to have compassion here. I don't want to say that if you're not serving in one way or another, that means that you're deficient. I want to be careful with that to not shame folks. Some of us don't know our function. Some of us don't know how best to serve the church. One time I had a member tell me, after church in the foyer, I remember we were standing there, and she said to me, "Pastor, I'm bored. I'm bored. I don't know where I need to serve, but I know God is calling me to serve." And I told her, "You better be careful telling that to your pastor. You're bored? You don't know where to serve? Hey, let's go." What happened was she ended up in the office for a year. But maybe, friends, you don't know your function yet. That's okay. I'm not standing up here to shame folks into serving the church or to guilt people into giving their time and energy to the church. I'm here to say God has called you to this thing. And it is good and it is beautiful when you can share in the life of the body. And maybe you're not sure of what your function is, yes, but I promise you, you have one. I promise you. God has put this all together, Paul said, so that the body can be one. God has gifted you, as we talked about last week, for the building up of his body, which is what? The church. God has gifted you for the building up of his body in order to love and serve the world. So if you want help discerning your purpose and your function, if you need help discerning how God might be calling you to fit within this body, then I want to encourage you to fill out a Connect card or give me a call. Let's sit down and talk about it. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. This is the good news of God for the people of God today.